We are so glad again you've joined us this morning, and I would like to introduce a dear friend of mine. 16 years ago, myself and Jim and another gentleman sat in my living room, and I shared with them that I felt that the Lord was calling me to start a church in this area. And both of them had known me for a very long time, and they were both on board, kind of. If you say so, Eric, we will go with you. And Jim was one of those men. For 16 years, he faithfully served and faithfully serves to this day each and every one of you. His contributions to this church are endless, and I'm so thankful for him, not only as a leader, but as a friend. Jim has always been there anytime we needed anything, unless the sciatica was acting up. Then it was questionable. Jim, we got to paint the church. Let me see. Oh, my sciatic's acting up. Jim, we got to move some heavy stuff. Let me see. My sciatic's acting up. I'm kidding. In February, Jim called me from the hospital after receiving the results that he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And yet he was so confident that the Lord was going to be with him through it. He didn't know what the result was going to be, but he knew that the Lord was going to be with him through it. And he shared that confidence with me. And of course, we at the church began to pray. He received that he had a cancer count of close to 500,000 within his bloodstream. Last week, it's down to 487. He asked me personally, may I share what the Lord has been doing in and through this time with me? You know, it's one thing to say that we believe in God. It's another thing to say that we believe God. That on a day-to-day basis, we believe that He is going to sustain us through any trial, trouble, or tribulation that we face or experience. And Jim wanted each and every one of us to know what the Lord has done for him over the course of these months. And he wanted you to know that it has been God and prayer that has sustained him and who has brought him to this point. Even the ability to withstand the extra intensive chemotherapy. But he wanted everyone to know that it is God. Boy, I pretty much said everything he was going to say. I guess you're done, Jim. All right, there's some great places for breakfast. No, I'm just kidding. But he wanted to share it with you today. We also would like to welcome his family with us today who are sharing this moment with us. Welcome. You're welcomed here, and we are so glad you have joined us. But without any further ado, yeah, give him a hand. Jim, why don't you come on up here and take us the rest of the way through it. Jim Alther, Senior Deacon at Calvary Chapel.
Didn't make it here this morning. My sciatic was acting up. Truthfully. Well, thank you all for coming. The title of today's message is Nothing is Impossible for Him Who Believes. And I dedicated this title of this message to my son-in-law, Alec, and my daughter, Amanda, who on Father's Day bought me a t-shirt, which you can see behind me. Be strong, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say that with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about one more time with some confidence? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you use my testimony to touch the hearts of each and every person here this morning. Lord, you have been with me through this journey, and I know you are going to continue to be with me through this journey. And Lord, no matter what trials or tribulations anyone in this room is going through, you are there. And Lord, I just pray that you use me this morning. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. I thank God first and foremost for giving me this opportunity to speak with you this morning. I asked Pastor Eric if I could share my testimony of what I've been going through over the past few years. and how the Lord has strengthened me through it. So Pastor Eric and Pastor Chris, thank you so much. I also want to thank all of you here today, because without your prayers, I would not be standing here. So thank you so much. And I cannot forget the woman I've been married to for the last 35 years in September. My loving wife, Barbara, who has stood by me these last 35 years, you have been my rock, and I love you. I am not a great speaker, nor am I a great orator. In fact, I might trip on my tongue a few times this morning, not to mention a little bit of forgetfulness, which one of my nurses calls chemo brain. Although if you asked my wife, my family, or Pastor Eric, they would say I've had that ever since they've known me. I'm just a simple man being obedient to what God wants me to share with you this morning. As I share my testimony, I am not going to expound much, but rather give you some tidbits of thought as well as scripture for you to ponder and to think about. I want to encourage you through my testimony to make you see the power of God through trials and tribulations. To all of you who know me, I go by Jim, Jimmy, James, Uncle Jim, Mr. Jim, Jimini, given to me by an assistant pastor's wife, Carrie Puiziak, when she felt I was crabby, Jim Nicey when she felt I wasn't. And who can forget Grandpa from our Christmas play a few years back? For those who do not know me, I'm Jim, Jimmy, James, Uncle Jim, Mr. Jim, Jimini, given to me by an assistant pastor's wife, Carrie Puiziak, when she felt I was crabby, Jim Nicey, when she felt I wasn't, and who can forget Grandpa at the Christmas play a few years back? I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1988 at Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove. From that time through 1995, the ministries I was involved in was being a Sunday school teacher and serving as an usher. In the fall of 1995, Pastor Eric asked Joe Puiziak and myself to his home and asked us if we would help him start Calvary Chapel Cardinal. Joe was asked to be Eric's assistant pastor and I to be his deacon. At that time, I did not know what God had in mind for my life, but I knew I had to be obedient to his calling. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it reads, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So I set out to serve the Lord as the deacon here at Calvary Chapel, with all my heart, recognizing that it is He who has assigned me to this post of responsibility." Obedience is the key in serving Christ. You see, no matter where we are in our walk with Christ, we need to be obedient and serve God. Where He has us at this moment is not only where He wants us, but where He needs us. And Warren Wiersbe said it best, "When you know what God is doing in the world and you work with Him, you can be sure that He will work in you and for you. All of His divine resources are available to those who sincerely want to do His will and help Him accomplish His purposes on earth." God is always looking after us and always has been. Even though we may not see it, we can all look back and see God's hand as to where we were then and where we are now. That's called providence. Providence, God's care. An event regarded as an act of God. Well, I'm here to tell you a little about God's providence in my life. In December of 2010, I was sitting at home one evening when I suddenly caught a chill and I couldn't stop shaking. No matter what I tried to do to keep warm, the shakes would not stop. I'm sure we've all experienced in the cold when you catch that chill and you're shaking. Well, this was the same thing, only I wasn't really chilled, but I just couldn't stop shaking. So I got up and went to my wife, Barb, and I told her I just could not get rid of these shakes. And as I put my hands down on her desk, we both noticed my fingernails were purple and both agreed we needed to get to the emergency room. On the way, I called Pastor Eric to let him know to get an emergency prayer chain going. Arriving at the emergency room, I noticed immediately that all my symptoms went away. But since we were there, I might as well get checked out. Nothing really could be found, but they suggested a scan of the abdomen to rule out everything. What was found was a spot in the mesentery region below the upper intestine. After a biopsy was taken from that spot, it was determined that I had a carcinoid tumor and it had to be removed. Now, if that wasn't God's care, if that wasn't an act regarded as an act of God, sending me to the emergency room with one thing, which went away, but doctors finding the tumor in time to be removed. I'll leave that up to you to ponder. But this was definitely God's care. This was definitely an act of God to help me in my time of need. One of my favorite verses in the Bible showing how much God cares for us is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and it reads, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." You see, humility is not demeaning ourselves and thinking poorly of ourselves. It's simply not thinking of ourselves at all. Our minds should be fully concentrated on Christ and Christ alone. This leads to a heart full of compassion towards helping others. Well, surgery was set up for February of 2011, and a foot of my upper intestine was removed, and the tumor was found in the section removed. Praise God. From that point on, I needed to have a scan done every 3 months to make sure another carcinoid tumor would not return. This went on the following May, August, and November of 2011, as well as the following February, May, August, and November of 2012. November's scan was spotless. I was doing so well with these tests, I figured I would skip January's scan because, quite frankly, they were very expensive. And again, I was doing so well with the results from my last 7 scans. In the last week of January, I woke up in the middle of the night coughing heavily and felt I pulled a muscle in my chest. I went to work that morning, but after work, I just couldn't stand the pain and I couldn't breathe in deep. So Barb and I both decided again to go to the emergency room. Again along the way, I called Pastor Eric and asked him to please put me through on the emergency prayer chain. In the hospital, they took x-rays of my chest and my lungs, and everything appeared normal, and sent me home with steroids and anti-inflammatory medications. Well, a few weeks went by, and I just couldn't get rid of the pain in my chest and back. So I made an appointment with my regular doctor. Everything he checked seemed to be fine, but he insisted that since I skipped January scan, we should move forward and have this done. So the following Monday, February 18th, I went to my surgeon's office and set up the scan for Tuesday morning to have the procedure done. After the scan, I went to work, getting back to my normal routine. I was in my office no more than an hour when my surgeon called and told me, "Get to the hospital immediately. A room will be waiting." They found a blood clot in my lung that had to be treated as soon as possible. After arriving in the hospital, a few more tests were made, and it was found that I had a blood clot in each lung, as well as one in each leg. The same evening, my surgeon came in and added on to the findings that I had a tumor on my pancreas, which has spread into the liver. And by the way, one of the nurses told me that usually they only find the blood clots that I had in my lungs and legs in an autopsy. My family doctor said that you don't see many people surviving with the blood clots that I had. The next morning, in my hospital bed, I sat up to pray and read my Bible as I do every morning. And as I was praying with my eyes closed, I felt a hand rest upon my shoulder. A little stunned, I continued to pray. And then I felt another arm go around me to the other shoulder, and I felt a head resting upon my shoulder. I again continued to pray. When the hands and head left my shoulders, I saw a shadow pass across my closed eyes, and I heard an audible voice say, "I am with you." Later that morning, my wife Barb arrived and my oncologist arrived. He took us to a private room to discuss the findings. I asked him what stage my cancer was in, and he replied, "Stage 4, pancreatic cancer, which has spread to the liver." What would have been your response? How long do I have? Think negative thoughts? Panic? Blame God? I'm not a brave man, but my fear was overcome by a contentment founded on the assurance of God's constant presence and the promises he extends to us to supply our daily needs. Because of the word of assurance that he himself has spoken throughout Scripture, we may boldly respond with a declaration of confidence without fear. In Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear." I was not shocked or dismayed. My only reaction after being told by God earlier that morning that he was with me, I looked right at the doctor and said, "Okay, let's fight this with the strongest knockout chemotherapy that you have, and let's kick this cancer right in the butt." So we started with a regimen of drugs that lasted for 52 straight hours every other week. After my 7th chemotherapy, I had an allergic reaction to one of the drugs and needed to be taken off of it immediately. This was replaced by another drug in the same family, but due to it possibly hurting your bladder or kidneys, and a 1-hour flush was added before the drug, as well as a 1-hour flush after the drug. This boosted my chemotherapy time to 54 straight hours. But after the 9th chemotherapy, this drug started giving me neuropathy, which is the numbness of your nerve endings, and I was getting it in my feet and my fingertips. In fact, there were times through my chemotherapy that I felt the blood pumping in my teeth. I know that I wasn't in the hospital just for my medical attention. What an opportunity the Lord gave me to witness to every person who came into that hospital room. I was passing out Bible bookmarks to all the medical staff as a thank you for their care. And thank you to Dina Kelly and Jeff for keeping me stocked with those bookmarks. I didn't care if it was the nurses, the doctors, the technicians, the cleaning lady, friends or family. Everyone was given the gospel of Jesus Christ in some sort of way. And hats off to my wife, Barbara. Once I started going, the Holy Spirit also used her, and it was as if we were a WWF tag team. I never skipped an opportunity to share God's word with anyone. Well, you already heard about my experience on my second day in the hospital with God's overwhelming assurance that he was with me. But another strange occurrence happened to me while I was leaving the hospital. I asked our good friend and sister in Christ, Kelly Winger, who works at Good Shepherd in the patient relations department, if there was anything I could do for a particular nurse, Kristen, who just went over and above board for my care while I was in the hospital. She said yes, that what they call a top hat could be put into her file to show her exemplary work. But there was also a nurse that I had a few times that signed onto the board in my room as Jamie. Jamie was a short nurse with long, curly, brunette hair. My wife and daughter also saw her write her name on the board in my room. One morning as I woke from sleep, there was Jamie sitting Indian style on the recliner next to me and asked me how I was doing. She had a little time before her shift and was just visiting. We talked for a little while, and she then left to go on duty. Well, while I was in the hospital, she was the only nurse that I didn't have a chance to give a bookmark to, and wanted Kelly to please give her one for me. Kelly called me and said she made a couple of attempts, but she could not find her, but she would try again. I teased Kelly and said, "Wouldn't it be funny if she was a guardian angel?" Well, Kelly made another attempt and went to the desk to check the roster of nurses while I was there, and lo and behold, no nurse named Jamie ever worked a shift in the hospital on that floor. In Hebrews 13:2, it reads, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Just another thing for you to ponder on your own, but I'm just saying. Well, it's now July, and I'm doing great with the chemotherapy, even though they get tougher as they go on. God is giving me the strength to endure. I just finished my 10th chemotherapy and have logged 529.5 hours of chemotherapy since February 25th. With a blood test called a CA19-9, which measures how you're doing by a cancer marker taken from an enzyme that is put out into the bloodstream by the tumor, my cancer marker in the hospital was 489,662. And I'm here to tell you today that my last number, the latest number, is now 487.8. Praise God. That's a drop of 489,174.2. I need to get the marker below 35 to take the next step in my treatment. All I can do is praise God for all He has done. And I couldn't have done it without all of your prayers that you sent up to the Lord. And believe me, I felt nothing but strength from all of your prayers. I can just imagine God saying in response to all your prayers, all right, I'll cure them. Last Tuesday, I had an appointment with my gastroenterologist. I won't explain what he does. I think you can figure that out by yourselves. I was due for a checkup, and everything went well. But before my checkup, I explained what I went through since my surgery in 2011. He looked astonished. He said that there had to be some kind of misdiagnosis and left the room to look up what I was diagnosed with. He came back a few minutes later, shaking his head, and said, "Yep, that's what you have." He sat down and just stared at me in disbelief. He said, "I'm going to remember this." He said, "This is fantastic, and your blood numbers look great." I says, "Well, doc, it's a miracle. I'm a strong man of faith." He then interrupted me and said, "God bless you." He would not stop shaking my hand. He said, "Looking at you, I would never believe that you have stage 4 pancreatic cancer that has spread into the liver." What was the doctor so amazed about? Well, being diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which has spread to the liver, one usually has a life expectancy of only 3 months. I've made it to 5, and I'm close to beating this. When an unbeliever goes through suffering, he loses hope. But for a believer, suffering only increases his hope. In Romans 5, 1 through 4, it reads, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access to faith into his grace, in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, and character, hope." We are all a work in progress and are all being shaped and molded every day into what God wants us to be. In Isaiah 64:8, it reads, "But now, O Lord, you are Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand." So be obedient to his calling and be used by him today as we continue to be formed and shaped into the men and women that he wants us to be. In closing, can anyone here tell me what the difference is between the trial I'm going through and the trial you may be going through? Your trial may be financial. Your trial may be physical. Your trial may be with a loved one. Or your trial may be at work. Maybe your life is going well, and currently you may not be going through a trial. Can you tell me the difference between the trial I'm going through and no trials in your life? I'm here to tell you there is no difference. God promises tomorrow to no one. Any one of us can be here today and gone tomorrow. A car accident, an accident at home or on vacation. Not one of us has the guarantee of tomorrow. I may not be here next year, but I'm here today. I may not be here next month, but I'm here today. I may not be here next week, but I'm here today. I may not be here tomorrow, but I'm here today. I do not know how I could have done this through this trial without Jesus Christ. If he decides to take me, it's victory. If he decides to cure me, it's victory. I have victory through Christ either way. And so can you have victory through Christ no matter what you are going through. In 1 John 5:4 it reads, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This is a victory of faith. But faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is not faith in ourselves, but faith in Christ that gives us victory. So what are we to do about today? Do you want to be used by God today? Maybe you're here today and you do not know Christ. Maybe you're here today and believe in Christ, but are seeking that relationship with him. In Romans 10:9 it reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you are here today and want that relationship with Christ, but never invited him into your heart, then today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day you can walk out of here a new creation in Christ. And to do so, all you have to do is bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. And for all of those who are saved here this morning, I want you to bow your heads and pray with me for those accepting Christ into their hearts right now at this moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for all of my sins. and lead my life through the power of your Holy Spirit. I believe you died for my sins, my forgiveness, and was resurrected from the dead for my new life. Thank you for being my personal Savior and Lord of my life and Lord over all matters. Lord Jesus, let me cast all my cares, anxieties, and all my worries once and for all on you, because I know that you love me. There is no salvation in no other name, no one else under all heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for being my personal Lord and Savior. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, you are that new creation in Christ. And now are ready to serve God today, to further his kingdom, and give Christ all the glory. I want to end with Psalm 138, verse 7 through 8. And it reads, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against me, or you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has touched each and every individual heart here this morning, Lord, to let them know that no matter what we face, no matter what type of trial or tribulation, no matter what type of trouble, if we have you, our Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, if we have that relationship with you, it is victory. Regardless of the outcome, it is victory. I thank you, I worship you, and I adore you. And I pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.